Hi, everyone. Reality TV burst onto the scene in the late 90s with shows like Survivor and American Idol, Big Brother, and it continues to this day with shows like The Bachelor and The Voice and Dancing with the Stars and Chopped, The Real Housewives. We're obsessed with all of it. Even though we've come to find out that there's an awful lot of pre-production happening in these so-called reality shows, but I have a trivia question for you today. What is the name of the oldest, longest-running, reality-based survival contest in America? Any guesses? Here's the answer. It's Motherhood. Motherhood has elements of all these reality shows wrapped into one. Survivor? Yep. Real Housewives? Check. Big Brother? For sure. Chopped? Every day at dinner time. The Bachelor? I hope not, but in some cases, yeah, some of you went there, okay? So Motherhood is the oldest running, last woman standing reality show. And so today, I want to speak about surviving motherhood. And not just surviving, but thriving. But before we go there, I just want to acknowledge the complexity of this day. I mean, Mother's Day for many of you is a really good day. You're happily married, yet you have children. You generally like your children. They generally like you. Maybe your mother's living and you get along with her. It's a good day for you. But there's a lot of others that Mother's Day is a hard day. For some of you, you don't have children because you're not married, but you'd like to be married. And so this day is kind of a painful reminder of your marital status. Some of you are single and you don't care to be married. And this day feels sort of like an affront to your life choice. Others are married, but you don't have children. Some of you have chosen not to have children. Some of you have not been able to have children. And it's not okay. And today, rather than being a celebration, it's simply a stark reminder of what you don't have. You've yearned to be a mom, but it just hasn't happened for you. Maybe you've struggled with infertility. And all the attempts have failed and just feel like a huge waste of time and energy and money. Maybe you've tried to adopt and it fell through. Maybe you've gone through a stillbirth or a miscarriage and you'd let yourself go there, the excitement, the announcement, the room decorations, and then you experience the cruel devastation of having that dream ripped away from you. And those of you who are yearning for motherhood, you see the barrage of Facebook pictures and you see the friends who seem like they just look at their partner and they get pregnant and it stinks for you. Well, in the words of Leah Campbell, who wrote a great piece on the pain of this day, it's okay to stock up on Ben and Jerry's for days like today. It's okay to be a little bitter. You're allowed to turn off your phone and disconnect your internet. You're allowed to cry and throw things and have a pity party. It's okay. But I do want to remind you today that even though you feel alone, you're not alone. There are so many other women across even this church who have been through it too. And how cool would it be for those of you who have had a year of disappointment like that to reach out to others in our church who are in that same boat this Mother's Day and send a card or some flowers or chocolates or just be there for each other as other people celebrate. And some of you are in a difficult marriage, or you're a stepmother and it's not easy, or a single mom and it gets very lonely on Mother's Day. Some of you lost your mom, and whenever this day rolls around, it reminds you of that big loss, that big hole in your heart. And I say all this to remind us that for a lot of people, Mother's Day is complex. And while I do want to speak directly to moms today, I want you to know, even if you're in one of those other categories, and even if you're a man, for heaven's sakes, geez, guys, I didn't even get to all our issues, okay? But I believe God wants to say something profound to all of us through today's message. There's something in here for everyone, all right? So here's our big idea today. Thriving as a mom means remembering what is true. And so I want to frame it this way today. Surviving to thriving, four truths to remember. Here's the first truth. Remember that you are loved by God. This first truth is just a matter of identity. For moms, man, identity can be hard because it can often feel like your identity is attached to everyone else. Oh, you're Billy's mom. Oh, you must be Samantha's mommy. Or is that point guard out there your son? In fact, it's a major problem for mothers who get so wrapped up in their kids for so long that when their kids grow up and move out, that the moms kind of fall apart emotionally because they no longer have an identity of their own. And it's not just moms that struggle with identity issues, and it's not just kids that we get wrapped up in. I mean, we can so easily pin our identities to our jobs or to our financial status or successes or grades or appearance or other people's opinions, and on we go. But here's the problem. If your identity is wrapped up in success, for example, what happens when you fail? Or when you lose that person's approval that you're seeking, or you lose that job, or your kid doesn't succeed. If your identity is tied to any of those things, then when those things fail, the very foundation of your personhood, your identity is shaken. But what would it look like to instead base your identity on the way God sees you? What if when you reflected on who you are as a person, the first thing that came to your mind was your status as a child of God? And I'm here to remind you today that you are who God says you are. And He says that you are loved with an everlasting love. Ladies, moms, you are more than the reflection you see in the mirror. You are more than the numbers you read when you step on a scale. You are more than the number of wrinkles you see when you put on makeup. You are more than the number of heads you turn when you walk into a room. You are more than how healthy your meals are or the interior design of your home. You are more than how many titles you accumulate or how successful you become. You are more than what others think of you. You are more than how culture evaluates you. You are a daughter loved by God. And how can you know? One of the richest passages about identity in the whole Bible is found in Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. I'm just going to summarize it here. Paul's explaining this new identity that's given to a person when they're in Christ. And according to this passage in Ephesians 1, here are the things that are true about you. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have been chosen. You have been adopted. You have been redeemed and forgiven and lavished with grace. You are unconditionally loved and accepted. You are considered pure and blameless and forgiven. You have received the hope of spending eternity with God. And when you are in Christ, these aspects of your identity can never be altered by anything this world might throw at you. This is who you are in Christ. And you are loved by God because of whose you are, not because of what you've done to earn it. Paul says later in Ephesians that the key is for us to understand this love, to remember it, to comprehend it, because if we don't, we'll be tempted to turn elsewhere to find our identity. He says it this way in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. He says, I pray that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I think it's great that the statement by Paul reflects how illogical the love of Christ is, because the statement doesn't make sense. He says, I want you to know this love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, I'm praying that you'll know something that's impossible to know, namely the love of Christ. It's just that crazy. Because when we know the love of Christ, our identity is secure. Even if we know it imperfectly, which means, moms, on those days when you feel like you've blown it, when you've just stepped over the edge and made a terrible decision, when you feel lonely or tired or incompetent, when that comment or that look or that mistake feels like the last straw, when those times come, and they do come to every mom and every one of us, I want you to remember that you're loved by God. He knows all of it. He knows you more intimately than anyone else. And He loves you unconditionally, without reservation and always. His love is like none other. You see, love's an interesting thing, because when somebody claims to love you but doesn't really know you, it's comforting in the moment. It feels nice, but it also feels a little superficial. Now, if somebody truly knows you and then chooses not to love you, well, that's our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved, that's what it is to be loved by God. And that kind of love frees us from having to pretend. It keeps us humble and centered. It fortifies us for any difficulty that life can throw at us. And so truth number one, you are deeply loved by God. Here's the second truth to remember as you move from surviving to thriving. Remember that you are appreciated. Motherhood can be such a thankless job. Now listen, it's not even fair to call it a job, because with a job comes pay and vacation time, right? And moms, when's the last time you got vacation from being a mom? I didn't think so. And so there's no severance package. There's no 5 o'clock whistle. There's no lunch break. And so let's say it this way, not a job. Motherhood is a thankless situation. And even the slightest hint of appreciation and encouragement from someone can add fuel to the whole endeavor. I read a story this week of a pastor who asked a few moms, in his church the question, what do moms need to hear on Mother's Day? One very seasoned mom said, you know what really means a lot to me? She said, when somebody who really knows me says to me, you're a good mom. She said, I can coast on that comment for months. Another younger mom got all choked up and teary-eyed, and she said, you know, I just wish my children would appreciate all that I do for them. They never take time to thank me. They've never really honored me for the important role I've played in their lives. The pastor felt some sympathy. He looked back to this woman. He said, well, how old are your kids? Through tears, she said, 3 and 6. Right. Appreciation goes a long way. And this point isn't as much for moms. It's more for the whole rest of the tribe, for husbands and the kids and the whole family. If you want your mom or the mother of your children to thrive, you need to value her through appreciation. There's so much that moms do behind the scenes that you often don't appreciate it all until she's not there. I mean, ask my son Caleb after his first year away at college this year, all the stuff that he appreciates about his mom now that he didn't even notice before. Right? Speaking of Caleb, I remember when Caleb was a baby. He was our first, you know, so we were real protective about everything. By the third child, they're like 3 years old, and you're like, hey, can you walk to the store and get daddy some razor blades or whatever? You know, you just kind of don't care anymore. But anyway, the first one, you're real protective. And I remember that first time I had to give Caleb a bath in the sink by myself. Kim had been so incredible and nurturing about everything, and we'd done baths with him before, and she made it look so easy and perfectly executed and all that. And it was my day off, and she had stepped out for some errands, and as soon as she left, Caleb made a mess in his diaper. And so I cleaned him up, and I thought, you know, this mess probably requires a bath. And so I put some water in the sink, and I couldn't immediately locate the little bath seat that we used to keep him upright. And so I thought, you know, it should be fine with me just holding him with one hand, washing him with the other. I hadn't fully calculated the slipperiness of a little naked child in soapy water, but I made it work, okay? Until I realized that we got done and I didn't have a towel. And I knew a towel was important because I didn't want him to get chilled and all that. I didn't want to carry him all the way upstairs. That's where the towels were, up in his bedroom. So I knew there were some dish towels over here down in the kitchen cabinet, just on the other side of the room there. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to lean him against the edge of the sink in the water. I'm going to rush over there, grab a towel real quick, rush back, and it will all be good. What's the worst that can happen? Well, I discovered that in just a split second, a baby can slide down the sink and become completely submerged under the water. Oh, I can feel all you moms judging me so hard right now, okay? Just stop. I shouldn't have told you this, but I'm too far in now, so just hang. It was only a split second, okay? He was fine. There was no CPR involved, none of that. Just a, you know, kind of breath as he came up. But, okay, as soon as that happened, though, and I knew he was going to be all right, and after any kind of incident like this, after it's over, your mind begins to wander down all the horrible possibilities that could have been. And so as I held him wrapped there in that towel, I literally started to shake. And I held that little body as tightly as I could, and I told my little son, I am so grateful that you're alive. I'm so grateful that no water went into your lungs. I'm so grateful that you're breathing. I'm so grateful that you're too little to remember any of this. I'm so grateful that you don't know any words yet, so mommy never has to know about this. In fact, I will tell mommy about this someday, maybe like in 20 years, in a really safe setting like a church in front of thousands of people from the safety of a video screen. You think I'm kidding? Anyway, here's my point. My appreciation level of Kim as a mom went through the roof that day and has only escalated since. She's an amazing mom. I appreciate her so much. You know, one of the pictures of a virtuous woman that's in the scriptures in Proverbs 31, we all hear about her incredible attributes, the impact that she's making in her world. But there's this little verse that's hidden away in verse 28 toward the end of that chapter. It says this. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Now, this isn't the reason that she was great, but it sure added fuel to her greatness. She received appreciation from her family, and well-deserved. I mean, think about if you had to run an ad to try to hire a new mom, to replace all the things that moms do. Can you imagine how that ad would go in ZipRecruiter or LinkedIn or wherever you'd post it? It would go something like this. Wanted, a wife, a friend, confidant, personal advisor, lover, referee, peacemaker, housekeeper, laundress, chauffeur, interior decorator, gardener, painter, wallpaperer, dog groomer, veterinarian, manicurist, barber, seamstress, appointment manager, financial planner, bookkeeper, accountant, personal secretary, teacher, disciplinarian, entertainer, psychoanalyst, nurse, public relations expert, dietitian, nutritionist, baker, chef, fashion designer, birthday card coordinator for both sides of the family. It's preferred that applicants also have prior experience as a travel agent, speech therapist, plumber, automobile repair expert. Other job details, they're expected to be on call 24 hours a day, never have a day off, no sick leave, no paycheck, no pension, must possess infinite patience, top flight nurturing skills, boundless energy, inexhaustible love. During a normal work day, you will also be expected to be cheerful, look radiant, and jump in the sack at a moment's notice. Thanks. That's a lot of stuff. Don't you think that someone doing that job deserves more than a little appreciation? We love you, moms. We appreciate you. And we all need appreciation just to survive emotionally. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxious hearts are very heavy, but a word of encouragement makes them glad." Appreciation gives us this staying power, you see. Yet many moms wonder every day, does my family appreciate me? Husbands, kids, one of the greatest gifts you can give your mom or the mother of your children, your wife, is the gift of sincere, genuine, personal, continual appreciation. It's the emotional fuel that will help her not to just survive, but to thrive as a mom. So remember, you are loved by God. Remember, you are appreciated. Here's the third truth. Remember that you have a divine calling. I believe that every human being has a calling from God, not just pastors, not just missionaries, but each person, and that includes you, moms. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that you are God's masterpiece, you are God's workmanship, that you were created in Christ Jesus to do certain works that God prepared in advance for you to do. That means he has a plan for you, he has a purpose for you, a calling for your life. Listen to how 2 Peter says it. 2 Peter 2:10 says, "Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling." That is, figure out what God's asking you to do. And I know a lot of moms wrestle with this idea. Do I stay home with my kids? How long do I stay home with my kids? Should I work outside the home? I mean, my wife Kim has wrestled with this over the years. And there were seasons where she had worked and seasons where she stayed home. And in the end, I think what settled her finally was when she started to answer the question, "What is God calling me to do?" Right now, during this season, she's running her company, she's building houses, not because it's her career, not because she wants to make a bunch of money, but because it's her calling. It's how God made her. It's what she's wired for. She comes alive inside when she's doing it. She's an incredible mom and wife and everything else in the process, but she's walking in her calling. And that is by far the greatest gift that she can give to our family. And here's why I think it's so important for you moms. Because when you've sorted out your calling, there's only one person you need to answer to, and it's God. And if you're home with the kids and there's all kinds of pressure from people to be doing other stuff, in the end you can say, "I'm doing exactly what God called me to do." And if you're working or serving or volunteering as a priority in your life, you can say, "I'm doing what God called me to do," and you can do it guilt-free. Author Brené Brown says that shame over motherhood is the second highest source of shame among women next to body image. I mean, you have guilt for leaving your children to go to work. You feel guilty if you leave work to be home with your kids. You feel guilty if you stay home and aren't working. Without a clear calling, you see, you'll find yourself chasing around this unrealistic, idealized version of supermom. It's just not possible. It's not healthy. But if you get this image of perfection in your mind, of the perfect mom, and then you start to compare yourself to it, you're in trouble. You start to think, whatever I'm doing, whoever you are, it isn't enough. No matter what you do or what you don't do for your child, deep down inside you have this sneaking suspicion that somehow you're doing it all wrong. You go to Pinterest or Facebook, you see everyone else's perfect life and perfect ideas and perfect cupcakes, and it only adds to the pressure. And these comparisons lead to feelings of inadequacy and guilt and shame. And one female family therapist said, "Show me a woman who doesn't feel guilt, and I'll show you a man." Okay, this is part of the makeup. But you have to know that there's grace. that Jesus makes a difference in our guilt. One of the beautiful things about the cross is that Jesus says, you give me all the guilt, you give me all the shame, you give me all your inadequacies, I'm gonna bear them all. And in return, he says, I will give you a calling, I will give you a purpose, I will give you righteousness. You don't need to meet anyone else's expectations. You walk in your calling. I've always imagined it this way. Imagine your life being lived out on a grand stage in front of a whole grandstand filled with people. It's all the people in your life who've influenced you both positively and negatively along the way. And what we tend to do when we look out at that grandstand is we tend to try to choreograph our lives in such a way as to try to make the most people in the grandstand happy. And we're doing the dance just trying to keep everybody happy. And the Bible seems to indicate that one of the goals in life should be to one by one escort the people out of the grandstand. With dignity and respect for each one, to say, I love you very much, but you can't be here anymore. And we're to continue to escort people out until we're left with only one person in the grandstand. And then, we choreograph our movements for him and him alone, our audience of one. Galatians 1:10 says, if we're constantly trying to please people, we're not actually servants of Christ. He is the one we live to please. He is the one who gives the calling. And when he is the only one that we need approval from, we have freedom to live courageous lives. We have strength to pray bold prayers. We have the guts to make brave decisions. We receive our calling and our strength from that audience of one. And so be diligent to confirm your calling. So let's summarize. If you're going to thrive as a mom, you need to remember that you're loved by God. You need to remember that you're appreciated. You need to remember that you have a calling. And here's the last truth that I want to encourage you with today. You need to remember that you're part of a bigger story. I mean, the ultimate reward for thriving as a mom is knowing that you're making a difference in the life of your children and their children, and ultimately playing a role in God's design for future generations and for all of history. In 2 Timothy 1:5-7. Paul says this to one of the great young leaders in the early church named Timothy. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. You see, spiritual impact is like a relay race. You carry the baton for a while, but your job is to pass that baton on to your kids so that they can run their leg of the race. And you're going to have a spiritual impact on your kids' lives like no one else in the world can or will. I mean, we throw around this number 936 around here a lot. 936 is simply the number of weeks between the time a child is born and the time you send them off to college. In fact, you could just stick a glass vase in your living room with 936 marbles in there, and you'll realize in an instant how little time you actually have. And if every Sunday you were to take a marble out and as you begin a new week, it's this visual reminder of how precious that time is. And because the stakes are so high, and spiritually and morally as a society, we've totally lost our compass. These 936 weeks, they've never been more important. I mean, our family learned ourselves last year that once you hit that 937th week, everything changes. That kid that you've invested in and fed and clothed and bathed, sometimes successfully, and prayed for, I mean, they're on their own and they're never coming back. I mean, hopefully. And yes, you'll still be that kid's mom, but those foundational years are done and the bigger story is now being written. It's why we as a church have prioritized these 936 weeks as well. We want to be partners with you, especially young families, as best we can by providing resources and support so that you can pass along faith to your children. I'm so proud of the 70 or so of you who took advantage last weekend of the Learn to Lead Parent Edition. I want to challenge you all to take advantage of absolutely everything that's available through Grace Youth and Grace Kids. From the Parent Q app that goes along with all of our curriculum, to milestones like baby dedication and getting a Bible and graduation, to life groups and retreats and events. Take advantage of all of it because the stakes are too high not to. So you have to play your role in the bigger story. And while there's no manual on motherhood, we do have the scriptures, the Bible, and the greatest gift that you can give your kids spiritually is to be on fire for God yourself. And so as you find your chair as you explore the scriptures. You're going to be strengthened. You're going to be reminded of these truths that we're talking about today and many more, that you're loved, that you're appreciated, that you're called, that you're part of a bigger picture. When you read and obey the Bible, you see, you're a very different person. You're a very different mother. And here's why that's so important. Moms, you play a role that no one else gets to play. Moms, you are writing a legacy onto the hearts of your children. 100 years from now, it won't matter what kind of house you lived in, the size of your bank account, which brand of clothes you wore, the model of the car you drove. What will matter is that you invested your life into the life of a child, your child. That's what will matter more than anything else. Those quick conversations in the car, between driving between all the activities, they make a difference. Those bedside chats about how'd the lunchroom go today, or being nice to people, or eventually boyfriends and girlfriends, they make a difference. When you slip that little note into their backpack before school, it makes a difference. The advice about how to respect authority figures and how to give a firm handshake and how to look somebody in the eye when you talk to them, it matters. When you help them with their math problems, even though you don't have an actual clue yourself, you're making a difference. When you prioritize bringing them to church or to life group week after week, you're making a difference. Listen, when you have the courage to apologize to them after losing your cool and ask them for their forgiveness, your transparency, your humility will far outweigh the original temper tantrum. Your investment in their lives will reap huge dividends for generations to come. That's the big story. And how do we know? Because history shows us that when God wants to do something great in the world, he doesn't send an earthquake. He doesn't stir up a tornado. He doesn't erupt a volcano. He sends a person. But before he sends that person, he gives that person a mom. He doesn't just plop them into existence out of thin air. No, he finds a faithful woman to be his or her mother. You see, when God needed a Moses, he found a Hebrew slave girl living in the banks of the Nile by the name of Jochebed to raise him. When God needed an Abraham Lincoln, he found a poor, illiterate Virginia farm girl by the name of Nancy Hanks to be his mom. When God needed a Martin Luther King Jr., he reached down and he found the daughter of a poor black preacher in Atlanta by the name of Alberta Williams. When God needed a Mother Teresa, he found an impoverished young woman from Albania by the name of Nicole to be her mother. When God needed a savior of the world, he found a young Jewish girl living on the backside of an empire to be the mother of the Son of God, the savior of the world. He used my mothers. Does that mean now that I'm adding pressure to you that your kid has to be the next Moses? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that you're part of a bigger picture and that God chooses ordinary, average people just like you to do extraordinary things. He will make a difference in the world through you. And moms, out of all the women in the world, God chose you to be the mother of your child, your children. You're the one. More than any other that your children need, you make a difference. And when you're mired in all the crazy day-to-day details, it's important to step back once in a while and focus on the big picture and remember that you are shaping history. Ladies, you are strong, you are brave, you are warriors for sure. But like all of us, you are nothing without the grace of Jesus. He's writing the ultimate story, and you're a part of it. And I pray that you would have the courage to connect your story and your family's story to the story that he's writing in the world and submit to his love and his grace. I want to remind you today, moms, that we see you. We recognize you. I hope that you'll remember these four truths today. Remember that you're loved by God. Remember that you're appreciated. Remember that you have a divine calling. Remember that you're part of a bigger story. We see you and we love you. Happy Mother's Day.